Okay.
So the Gemara asks the question, Asur. Why does the Mishnah say Yom HaKippurim Asur? Onish Karisur. And the Gemara's question is focusing on Achila and Shasiya. Achila and Shasiya, that's an Isur Karis. And therefore, the language of the Mishnah should have been a little bit more explicit, more clear. The Mishnah should have been spoken about the fact that, at least in the cases of Achila and Shasiya, we have not just an Isur Doraisa, but even a Chiyuv Karis. And the fact that the Mishnah lumps together the Isur Achila and Shasiya with all the rest, that would indicate that we're dealing with a classical Isur, but not a Chiyuv Karis. The Mishnah should have been more clear about that. Omar Rabbi Ila, V'itema Rabbi Yirmiya, Lo Nitzricha Ella L'chatzi Shir. We've all seen this Gemara, right? It's not the first time you're looking at it. That our Mishnah is talking about a case of Chatzi Shir, and therefore there's no Chiyuv Karis. Would there be an Isur Doraisa, or would there be an Isur Drabbanan? Would it be Mutar L'chatchila? These are all logical possibilities, and we'll have to take them under advisement. But one thing is clear, that there's no chiyuv karis. You know, more than that, I can't tell you for sure. But the only thing I can be certain about is that there's no chiyuv karis in the case of chatzi shir. And this is true, by the way, universally, that whenever the Torah prohibits something with an isur karis, there's always going to be a shir, and less than the shir does not engender a chiyuv karis. So when the Mishnah used the word asur, it deliberately used the word asur. You'll ask me, but an achil and shasir, there's a chiyuv karis. The answer is, we're talking about what case? Chatzi shir. If it's chatzi shir, there's no karis. Good. So the Gemara says that's not okay according to everyone. Meaning, if the Mishnah is talking about chatzi shir, then it seems to be a wise premise that the Isur mentioned in our Mishnah is not an Isur, is an Isur. Well, let's just put it that way, it's an Isur. Meaning, here's my question to you. What is the halacha of a shir? Is that halacha in onshim, or is that halacha in isur? When the Torah requires a shir, is that a precondition for generating the chiyuv onesh, in this case, kares? Or is that a precondition for violating the isur, and less than the shir would be completely mutter? But I'm saying, before you get to machlokas, but what do you see from Rav Ila? You know, let's just focus on Rav Ila. What do you see from Ila? Or some say it's Rav Yirmiya, but whoever it is, our Mishnah is talking about a case of what? Yes, of chatzi shir. And yet, it's asur, as I state in the Mishnah. So it means that the shir is a halacha in onshim, and it alleviates the punishment of kares, but it's not a halacha in the gufo shel isur. That's interesting. In other words, the Torah creates a double system. There's one system, one road that you can travel upon, and that's the isur. And then there's another system for onshim. And they don't always cross paths. For example, it could be that if a person takes a shavua to eat matzah on Leil HaPesach, it could be that shavua is chal and engenders an isur shavua. But as far as the onesh of a shavua, who remembers what's the classical onesh of a shavua? There's a whole parasha in the Torah. It's called a karban shavua. The karban shavua would be suspended in the case where he took a shavua to eat matzah because he's already mushba miyobi mar Sinai. In other words, you can't take a shavua and impose it on another shavua. That might be halacha in karban, but it has nothing to do with the gufo shalisa shavua. I don't know. We have to analyze that. Here also, what the Gemara is saying is that the halacha of shiurim is a halacha that's formulated as far as onshim is concerned. So if you have less than the shir, and therefore you're lacking the fulfillment of that condition of the shir, then you don't have a chivat, a chiyuv karis. But as far as the gufo shel isur is concerned, obviously Rav Ila is assuming that there is gufo shel isur. Whether it's Doraisa or Rabban, I don't know. But one thing you have to grant me, it's awesome, because otherwise I can't read the Mishnah. That's clear. So when the Mishnah says Yom HaKippurim Asur Bechatzi Shir of Achila and Shasi, etc., we're talking about a premise that the Shir is a Tanai, is a condition in what? In the Chiv Kares, but it's not a condition in the Isur. So, for example, if I were to tell you, okay, I'd like to see an emotional, you know, response to this question. I want to see everybody rise up against me here. No, don't take this as a, you know, stone-faced. I want to see emotion here. You know, if I were to tell you that if you don't have a shear of achila, that's not called a maisa achila. The Torah defines a maisa achila based on the shear. The shear defines the maisa achila. If I were to say that to you, what should you? You should tell me, Rabbi Berzon, with all due respect, you're a nice guy, but you're nuts. You know, you're crazy. You're off your rocker. Because the very fact that the halacha of shir is only as far as what? As far as onshiv is concerned, means that the maisa avera you've implemented. The maisa achila you've achieved. As far as the full-fledged avera in terms of onshiv is concerned. You see, we have to differentiate now. I'd like you to make a note of this, please. There are two halachas. There's a halacha of the maisa avera, and there's a halacha of the chiyuv avera. And they're not always identical. You know, you would think that the maisa avera in Chet is the chiyuv avera. It's not so. There's a gap between the two. You can have something that qualifies as a maisa avera, but yet, as far as the chiyuv is concerned, which expresses itself in what? In onshim and kares, in this case, you haven't yet achieved the full-fledged chiyuv. So you have an isur without a chiyuv. You have an avera without the full-blown, bona fide avera, which incurs the chiyuv onsh. So that's the case of what? And the nafkamina is...
Kapara, if you need kapara.
Not only you need kapara, but we might even give you malchus. You see, we're going to have to raise the following question. If chatzi shir osim and atorah, do you get malchus for such a thing? So, in general, you would say that's ridiculous. Come on, don't tell me the chatzi shir incurs malchus. And you're right, you know, your gut reaction is correct. But in the context of Rav Elah, I'm not sure that that's correct. I don't know if that premise is a solid premise. Rav Elah is talking about kares, and he's saying if you don't eat a full shir of achila, then you don't get kares. Would you get malchus? Maybe you would. Because even within the framework of onshim, once you have the maisa avera, there are different levels of onshim. There's a level of onshim as far as malchus is concerned. There's a level of onshim as far as kares is concerned. And therefore, we don't know whether or not the avera itself would engender chiyuv malchus. And then you're very right. And even if I grant you that it doesn't engender a chiyuv malchus, I still violated an Isur Torah. I need serious kapara for that. You know, it's very interesting. The Gemara in Yevamos, I don't want to get off on a tangent, has a very interesting phrase, you know, the Gemara's language. Lekovro bein Rishayim Gemurim. The Gemara actually says that they have different sections in the cemetery as to where you'd be buried. It's very fascinating. The Gemara says that if a woman, a married woman, has relations with another man, so if she was a Mekudeshes, then she's buried in the worst cemetery. If she's a Nesua, so she's already has Nesua, which means after Chuppah, that's less of an affair. So she won't be buried together with her friend who had an adulterous relationship when she was a Mekudeshes. Okay. Anyway, that's called Lekovro Ben Rishon. So in the case of Chatzi Shir, Asim and Atorah, although we suspend the Chiyuv Kares, we would still say that you violated an Isur, possibly even an Isur Doraisa. Whose sheath is a Rabosai that Chatzi Shir violates an Isur Doraisa? It's a full-fledged Achila, but just we suspend what? Kares? That's the sheath of everybody? Rabbi Yochanan. And generally speaking, when we have machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in almost all cases, who do we passing like? Rabbi Yochanan. So, Chatzi Shir is a very serious business. You know, people think, okay, fine. So, then the Gemara says, Hinichol aman diomer Chatzi Shir osim in Torah. Fine. That makes sense. If you hold that Chatzi Shir is osim in Torah, then we justify the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case of Chatzi Shir, and it says, Osur, Eleman, Diomar Chatzi Shir, Mutim in Torah, Maikul, and Meimar, Di Itmar, we learned Chatzi Shir, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, osim in Torah, Shlokish Omar, Mutim in Torah. Now, what's your knee gut reaction when you see the words Mutim in Torah? What does that sound like? Yeah, it's probably also Mirabana. But the Gemara doesn't think so. The Gemara thinks at this point that according to Reish Lakish, Mutter means Mutter in Gansu. There's not even an Isur Rabana. I don't know why Reish Lakish had to confuse us by saying Mutter Minatorah. Those two words, Minatorah, confuse me. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, Lirab Yochanan, El Reish Lakish, my Ikol and Meimar. So Rabbosai, please tell me the answer to this question. We now have three possibilities, correct? One possibility was to say that you incur, you eat chashom on Yom Kippur, and you incur achiv kares. The second, we drop down a level to chatzi shir, and we have Rabbi Yochanan Shita, you violate an isa doraisa, but there's no what? Okay. There's no kares. We suspend kares. Now we drop down to the third level, the havamin of the Gemara in Reish Lakish, which means that chatzi shir is nothing at all. You know, we can, on Yom Kippur itself, we can give him shishi. I mean, he didn't violate anything. Not a doraita, or give him shlishi, depending on if you're a litvak or a chassid, but he's not in violation of even what? Even a derabbanon. Do Rabbosai, tell me the answer to this question. How did Reish Lakish understand the concept of a shir? It defines what, Rabbosai? Not just the chiyuv onshim, but even the ma'isa avera. I would say that according to Reish Lakish and the Havamina, if you have less than a shir, it doesn't qualify as a ma'isa achila. The shir defines not only the chiyuv onshin, not only the avera, but even the ma'isa avera. It's mafkia, we would say. It undermines and neutralizes the ma'isa avera. It's interesting. And I would suggest that there is a shita in Tanoim that would seem to support this position that less than a shir is not even a ma'isa. Halachically, it's not a ma'isa. Which Tana that you learned here on Daf Ayin Gimel on the days would support that position? No, faker. So, who argues with Rabbi Akiva? Chacham. What do the Chachamim say? A person takes a shvuah shelo ochal, and what does he have in mind? Say the Chachamim. I won't eat a kezayis, correct? Are you with me? Write this down, you know, in your minds at least. I'm not going to ask you to take notes. You're not my 18-year-old students, you know. But anyway, write it down in your mind. According to the Chachamim, if a person takes a shvua that I won't eat this kika, how much does he have to eat in order to violate a shvua? A kezayis, not less than a kezayis. And why a kezayis? Say the Rabbanon, because ein achila pachos mikizayis. So when he said shvu shelo ochal, how do I translate the word shelo ochal? A kizayis. In other words, the Chachamim identify achila with a kizayis. Less than a kizayis is not achila. We think that the word kizayis, the concept of kizayis, is sheer, you know, as far as chiyuvim, as far as isurim, it's very interesting, but it doesn't define lashon b'nei adam. According to the Rabbanon, even though in Hafla it means in Shavuos, in the Dharm, we can call Holcham Achaloshim B'nei Adam, he said Shlo Ochal. So Rabbi Kiva is right. Rabbi Kiva says Shlo Ochal, I won't even take a morsel, even a particle. But the Chacham say no. What's Achila when he says Shlo Ochal? Kezayis, less than a Kezayis, it's not an Achila. That would support this view of the Havamina in Reish Lakish, that according to Reish Lakish, Chatzi Shir, it's less than a Shir, it's not an Achila. But the truth is, Rabbosai, that I understand the Chachamim, but I don't understand Reish Lakish too well. Because, Rabbosai, what is the shir of Achila in Kol HaTorah Kula, universal? A kezayis, correct? What's the shir of Achila on Yom Kippur? We spoke about it last week. It Kol Seves Hagasa, because unless you eat it Kol Seves Hagasa, you haven't experienced Yisuvei Daite. Remember we discussed it? The essence of the violation of Achila on Yom Kippur is the flip side of Inui, which is Yisuvei Daita, Yishuv Adas. To get to that level of Yishuv Adas, there's an increment between Achila, which is Kezayis, you got to go a little bit beyond Achila, to Kekosevis Hagasa, that extra little increment, is going to carry you over the threshold to the point of Yisuvei Daita, correct? No? I would say like this. I understand the Chachamim, if a person takes a Shvua Shalom Ochal Kikar Zeh, he means a Kezayis. Less than a Kikar, less than a Kezayis is not a Chil. But on the other hand, Reish Lakish is going further than that. For example, let's take the case, okay, this is a discussion in the post-game. According to Reish Lakish, what would happen, a fascinating question, we mentioned it last week, if he ate a Kezayis on Yom Kippur, but he didn't need a Koseves Hagasa. So the Sholem Eishiv says, Gvaldig Echidish, that even Reish Lakish would agree that in this case, Chatzishir Asim in a Torah Kos Chach, at least he ate what? He ate a Kezayis. But the Gaon says, no. The Gaon says, until you eat Kosevas Agasa, you haven't achieved the violation of Yom Kippur. Namely, what's the shear of Kosevas Agasa? What does it symbolize? Yishuv Hadas. You haven't achieved Yishuv Hadas. So then how does Reish Lakish know, according to the Hav Aminu, that even the Rabbanan would not prohibit Chatzis Shear on Yom Kippur? The man ate a Kezias. If he ate a Kezias, that's called an Achila. In standards of Kol Torah Kula, for mitzvahs, for Yisurim, you need a Kezias, and he ate a Kezias. Hello, what? He didn't eat Yisuv Eidaita? So are the Rabbanan going to allow him to engage in an Achila on Yom Kippur? And why? Even Rabbanan, it's okay? Because he didn't get to Yisuv Eidaita. Logically, it's very difficult to take that position. I would say the following. Bishleim, there are Rabbanan who say that when you say Achila, Achila means Kezias. That makes sense. But in the case of Yom Kippur, if you ate a Kezias, you definitely violated an Achila. You want to say you're missing a precondition of Yisuv Eidaita? It's got to be an Achila which incurs or precipitates a Yisuv Hadas case. Okay, that he didn't do, but to say that's Mutal Achila.
Doesn't say Lo Lechol. To Yom Kippur.
So it means that we're going to have to conclude, according to this Hav, I mean, it's a Gevaldige Chiddush. I wouldn't have said this in a million years, that according to Reish Lakish, less than the Shear on Yom Kippur is not even considered an Achila, as far as what? As far as Yom Kippur is concerned. My definition of Achila, as far as Yom Kippur is an Achila, Sheyesh Po what? Yishuv Hadas. If it doesn't have Yishuv Hadas, it doesn't consider Achila, and the Rabbanan are not even interested in it. Or, I'm going to throw out another logical possibility. The Gemara admits, even in the Hav Amino, that Reish Lakish would grant you that there's chach, at least an Issa D'Rabbanan, in Pachos Mikashir on Achilas Yom Kippur, but Bamedvar Mamurim, where he ate a Kezias. If he ate a Kezias, and it's Chatzi Shir, as far as the unique Shir of Kikosevas Agas of Yom Kippur for Yisuv Eidaita, then clearly that would constitute a violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan because he has an Achil, and that's something that the Chachamim Midrabbanan could not tolerate. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says the following. Let's go back to the Gemara. Hanicha lamandi omar chatzis shir osu min haTorah. Elamandi omar chatzis shir mutu min haTorah. Ma'ikul meimar dit mar chatzis shir Rabbi Yochanan omar osu min haTorah. Why is chatzis shir osu min haTorah? Apparently it's an achila. Reish Lakish omar mutu min haTorah. Hanicha Rabbi Yochanan reish Lakish ma'ikul meimar. And here comes the Gemara with its answer. Moda reish Lakish sha'asur midrabbanan. Reish Lakish agrees that there is an Issa D'Rabbanan in Chatzis Shir. Again, Rav Osar, I want to reiterate what we said last time, namely that the Yerushalmi claims that, against the Bavli, that Reish Lakish would agree that Chatzis Shir on Yom Kippur is awesome in HaTorah, even though in Kol HaTorah Kula, Reish Lakish insists that Chatzis Shir is mutam in HaTorah. On Yom Kippur, says the Yerushalmi in Trumas, Chatzis Shir, in accordance with Reish Lakish, is awesome in HaTorah, says the Gra. Because even if you eat less than a shear, you have some element of Yisuv Eidaita, not the full 9 yards, but at least one element of Yisuv Adash, and therefore Reish Lakish would agree on Yom Kippur that Chatzis Shir is awesome in HaTorah. The Bavli is not like that. The Bavli assumes that Reish Lakish goes all the way, and the Torah was Matir Chatzis Shir, no matter what the nature of that shear is, whether it's Kezias in all Yisuri Torah, whether it's Kikosevas Agas in the case of Yom Kippur.
Why can't you say that? That especially according to the Yerushalmi, that there's two dinim we're talking about in Yom Kippur. That there's a din of achila, but that's not the main purpose of the main purpose of Yom Kippur is inoy.
Right.
Inoy, the main purpose is for that you need to conserve agasa. But however, there is the lashon of the Torah says kol ochel nefesh is chayiv. So therefore, because that we cannot get away entirely from the matter of Achila.
So Alan, who says this? Do you know who says this? I don't know if you got a chance to go through the sources. This was the Chiddush of the Sholem Eishiv. The Sholem Eishiv wants to say that when the Yerushalmi insists that Reish Lakish is mod on Yom Kippur, it's a case where he ate a Kezias. Meaning that according to Sholem Eishiv, there are two Isurim in Reish Lakish on Yom Kippur. There's one Isur Achila, and there's another Isur of Yisuv Eidaita. The Shear of Achila is the Shear that's universal of a Kezias. The Shear of Yom Kippur for Yisuv Eidaita Daite is Kikol Seves Agasa. In other words, it would be fascinating. This is what I wanted to point out to you, that according to this the Shalom Eishes doesn't suggest. But if, let's say, on Erev Yom Kippur, he ate before Shkia a Kizayis, and now on Yom Kippur he completes from Kizayis up to Kikol Seves Agasa, it's very possible that he might violate an Issur Torah. Because once he achieves Yisuve Daite on Yom Kippur, that's not worse than all the other Inuyim. Meaning, as far as the separate Chiyuv Kares is concerned, you need Achila Sheyesh Bo Yisuve Daite. His Achila is when? On Erev Yom Kippur. But as far as Yisuve Daite is concerned, which breaks up Inui, that he implemented on Yom Kippur itself, that would be no less then Sicha or Rechitza or Nilas Asant. Okay, all that we discussed on Thursday, but I have a lot to talk about today. So Rabbo said, give me a few minutes to get into it. The Gemara asks the following. If a Shlokish assumes that what? That Chatzi Shir is Asar Kol Panim Midraban. Is Lo Nechayev Alei Karban Shvua? Now there's a Karban Shvua, we're talking about a Shvua as Bitui, is violated in the full sense, you know, with a karban, if a person creates an iser with his shvuah that did not exist on the Torah level. So let's go slow. There are a number of cases that we can talk about. The classical case of a shvuah's bitui would be she'ochal kikarzu, she'lo ochal kikarzu, the kikar is parva, I don't mean that literally, but it has no iser, no mitzvah, no nothing. Then we go on to the following cases, where he takes a shvuah, and the shvuah contravenes the Torah law. He says he's going to eat nevela, and the Torah says you're not going to eat nevela. In such a case, everyone agrees that that shvuah is not chal at all. That shvuah is completely meaningless. It reminds me, by sheer association, the Gemara in Kiddushim at Kibbut Avayim, when your father tells you to violate the law of the Torah, there is no Kibbut Avayim in such a case. Here too, you take a shvuah that you'll eat nevela, treif, etc. That shvuah is not recognized by the Torah. But what happens if you take a shvuah not to contravene the Torah law, but on the contrary to support the Torah law? And here we break down into two cases, losaseh and eseh. So one case is where you take a shvuah that you won't eat nevela, okay? And the other case is where you take a shvuah that you will eat matzah, let's say, for example. In the first case, he's nishba shelo lavar al isur Torah. In the second case, he's nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. And there's a distinction between the two. In the case where he takes a shvuah not to violate an isur Torah, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, one of the Tanoim in Masechet Shvuos Chavav, is of the opinion that such a shvuah is relevant. It could be chal. The shvuah is coming to support a losaseh, and that shvuah would be meaningful. However, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, at least according to the Rishonim, that the shvuah will not be fully valid for a separate reason. That's called ein iser chal al iser. But you should know that whenever there's ein iser chal al iser, there's always going to be an exception to the rule. If it's bevasachas, or the kovra bein rishonim gemurim, and all sorts of different factors. Then is a case of a person who takes a shvuah to be mekayim a mitzvah. Here, it would be logical to assume that shvuah is completely meaningless because it doesn't add anything to the shvuah that we all took at our Sinai. And basically, that would be like a person who took a shvuah sholchal kikar zu, and then he took another shvuah sholchal kikar zu, the same kikar. And the Gemara says, ain't shvuah chal al shvuah, the second shvuah doesn't add anything to the first shvuah. It's completely null and void. So if a person takes a shvuah to be mekayim es ha-mitzvah, we would have suggested, logically, the conclusion is that it's not a shvuah, and it's completely null and void. But the Gemara says in Masechta Nedarim, based on a separate pasuk, it's interesting, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, but that's for a different Kabbalah, but the Gemara derives from a separate pasuk, that nishvoy lekayim es ha-mitzvahs. And according to some Rishonim, it means that if you take a shvuah to fulfill a mitzvah, if you violate that mitzvah, in addition to bittul eseh, you're chayav a karban shvuah for violating a shvuah's bitui, because the shvuah is chal in the full sense of the term. However, what happens to the case of a person who says a shvua shelo ochal nevela? According to Rabbi Yudav Besera, the issue is ein iser chal al iser. That's not a shvua halacha. That's a universal halacha. But according to the Chachamim, they reject Rabbi Yudav Besera. They say that a shvua could not be chal unless the shvua adds something to what was mushpa v'yomim mar Sinai. So if you're going to take a shvua that you won't eat nevela, say the Chachamim, you haven't added anything here to what the Torah was mashpia you, and therefore the shvua is not chal. That's halacha nilcha shvua. That's not halacha in any sort of chalalisa. And the Chachamim derive it from a pasuk in the parasha shvua. It says bitus vasayim. It says lahara olehetiv. Lahara olehetiv means that the shvua could be formulated in both directions, either in the positive or in the negative. So if I say I won't eat nevela, it's only valid if I could have said I will eat nevela. And so, since again, you cannot take a shvua to contravene the Torah law, a shvua to eat nevela is completely meaningless. Therefore, you can't take a shvua to enjoin yourself from eating nevela because it's not lahara ulehetiv. So therefore, what happens if a person takes a shvua that he won't eat nevela? The Chachamim say that it's not a shvua. And yet, I'll show you a Mishnah that says that if you violated that shvua and you ate nevela, then you have to bring a carbon shvua. Obviously, the shvua is valid. Alamatnan, this is a Mishnah Masech the Shvuas, and the Mishnah is on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. It says shvua shlo ochal v'ochal nevelas u'treifish katzim ramasim. The Chachamim say chayav. Chayav means he has to bring a carbon if he ate nevela. No, but wait a minute. We just finished saying that if you take a shvua that you won't eat nevela, and it's not lahara lehetiv, you couldn't have taken a shvua that you will eat nevela, therefore you can't take a shvua that you won't eat nevela. And therefore, how could you be chayav of a carbon shvua? And we're going to see two different answers to this question. Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, poter, you don't have to bring a carbon shvua. That's an interesting language, poter. Okay, we'll get back to that at a different time, but it sounds like Rav Shimon is agreeing to that he recognizes the shvua, it's just a separate p'tur karma. L'chora, the shvua is not a shvua because it's eino b'lahara lehetiv. Okay, fine, but that's not for us now. Vavinan bay, and we ask a question on this Mishnah. Vavinan bay usually means that the Gemara in its original place asked this question. It's a grafted Gemara. Amai chayev, why you chayev? Mushpa v'omeg mi'ar Sinai hu. He couldn't have taken a shvua that he will eat the nevela. He can't take a shvua that he won't eat the nevela. Basically, the shvua adds nothing. And here we have two approaches. How do we make sense out of the Chachamim who validate the shvua, and therefore you incur a chiyuv karbon shvua if you violate the shvua? Is Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, all the heavy hitters. Okay, they all say, Pe'echa di'amri be'kolel dvarim amutarim in dvarim asurim. That b'meh dvarim amurim, when do we apply this rule? Then mushpa v'yomir ar Sinai invalidates your shvua. That's only if your shvua doesn't add anything to the shvua that you took at ar Sinai. But if it adds something, you won't eat any basar, whether it's basar nevela or whether it's basar shchuta. Then, according to this interpretation, Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, they all agree that the Chachamim maintain that once the shvua adds something, then the shvua is chal even as far as nevela is concerned. That's fascinating. In other words, instead of applying the principle of shvua shabbat lo miktsas about Lakula, and that since the Shvuah is Betela as far as Nevela, therefore it's Betela as far as Basa Shchuta is concerned, we say the exact opposite. Since the Shvuah is valid as far as Shchuta is concerned, it's also valid as far as Nevela is concerned. What it means is, Rabosai, that ain't Shvuah Chal al Shvuah, in the case of Mushpa V'yomi Bar Sinai at least, does not completely undermine the Shvuah. The shvua, so to speak, is how should I say, mitlatolu. You know, it's suspended. We'll call it suspended in midair. It's looking for a tfisa. You know, the shvua wants to be chal. If only you would like, for example, let's say a person took a shvua shelo ochal kikar zeh, and then he took another shvua shelo ochal kikar zeh. So the second shvua is not valid, right? Let's say he would be matir the first shvua. That's called heter. Chacham, you know, he goes to a chacham, yachid mumcha, or a bezdin. Not exactly a bezdin, but anyway, he goes to three, and he's mati the first shvua. What happens with the second shvua? It's chal, because the second shvua is suspended in midair. It's waiting for a moment. It's like, you know, have you ever been in a plane and, you know, you're wondering, like, you know, I'm over, like, I've been over LaGuardia Airport for like an hour. Like, what's happening? You know, I just came in from Chicago, from Boston. Why am I landing? And the answer is because LaGuardia is the most busy airport in the world. Just like New York is the busiest city in the world. Not a place to live, but anyway. So why am I hovering back and forth? Because there's no landing space, right? So here's the case of a shvua. The second shvua has no landing space. As soon as you remove the first shvua and you clear the pavement, you know, on the ground, then the second shvua will be chal. So too here. According to Rav and Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, what happens is that if I take a second shvua, and that second shvua tells me I can't eat nevela, well, that shvua can't be chal, it has no landing space. But if that entity of a shvua could have landing space, as I call it, meaning if the shvua can add something, in this case, basar shchuta, then the shvua can be chal. Who rejects this? Who's unwilling to accept this? Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that doesn't make any sense. You want to tell me that the shvua could be chal vis-a-vis shchuta? Mela. Maybe that I can understand. I'm not even sure if that's so clear. But to say that therefore, ipso facto, I have to take the shvua as a whole. Kin kaboodle, and now the shvua is gorer. You know, the shvua is gorer. The chalos isa nevela as a shvua, that I'm not willing to say. So the isa nevela remains mushba v'yomim mi'ar Sinai. There's no chi of shvua, and we have to come up with a different answer. Says Reish Lakish, iatomotze ela. I'm going to skip a word for a moment. Bechatzi shir. In other words, the shvua that he took was only on chatzi shir, and with regard to chatzi shir, he's not mushba v'yomim mi'ar Sinai. Again, would he have to spell out that he took the shvua on chatzi shir? That depends on the machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. According to the chachamim, when a person says shvua shel ochal, he means kezayas, and therefore, in order to engender a shvua on a chatzi shir, you have to be mefarish. You have to spell out that he won't eat a chatzi zayas of nevela. That's Aliba de Rabbanon. Oh, Bistam, and here we're going on to page Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Bistam means even without specifying. I meant to say Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. What did I say? Ayin Gimel? Okay, I'm holding in Shabbos. You can see we're learning with Sechta Shabbos. Okay. Va'aliba de Rabbi Akiva, di Omar Odom Oser Atzmo B'Kolshu. When a person says Shalom Ochal, is a person speaks B'Losh B'nei Odom, he means I won't eat it at all. Not one morsel of this kikar will I eat. Is Mamela according to Rabbi Akiva, if he says Shvua Shalom Ochal, he means that he won't eat what? A chatzi shir, and therefore he's engendering an iser, which within the viewpoint of Reish Lakish was not considered mushba v'yomim mi'ar Sinai because he took upon himself chatzi shir. Okay, fine. Let's go back to Rashi for a moment. Rashi says lechatzi shir kigon pachos mikoseves hagasa. Shehi shir liyom haKippur kirisnab b'masnisin v'chilo sholim shiura. Kares leka isura ika. So we're saying that the shir is halach in what? In the chiyuv onshim, in this case kares, but it's not halach in the gufa shel avera, and therefore he violates the avera even with less than a shir. Chatzi shir. Oh, so what is chatzi shir? So if you remember, well, Akiva should remember. We discussed it at great length yesterday. Rashi says, what's chatzi shir? Well, usually, the word chatzi means what? Hey, David, you say it in British. I can't say it the way you say it. What's chatzi? Okay, I'll learn how to say it. I would spell that H-O-F, right? If I spelled H, I would be pronouncing it like a Brit, H-O-F, half?
Almost.
I'll never get it straight. Okay, half. Okay. The South Africans are even more complicated. Anyway, so... Oh, so what is Rashi saying here? Pachos mikashir. Rashi's not willing to take the Gemara literally, because if you take the Gemara literally, you're going to fly off the handle here. Chatzi shir means a half, right? So if you have a kezayis, you split the kezayis in two, and you ate half of a kezayis, and therefore you violate an Isur Torah. No, but what happens if, let's say, for example, I would argue against Rashi? Again, you know, I'm the phantom Bar Plukta of Rashi, the anonymous Bar Plukta of Rashi. I'm going to say, you know, I'm the literalist. What was his name? Anybody remember White? That was his name, White. He was a member of the Supreme Court about 50 years ago. He was the literalist, you know. you know, the freedom of speech, so you can get up in a movie theater and yell fire, you know, and people trample each other to death. But for the Dazai state, you know, that's what it said. So I'm going to be a literalist here. So it says chatzi shir. So half of it, I ate half of the kazayis, correct? If I ate more than half of the kazayis, then what? That's already a chiyuv on a Doraisa level. And maybe even Reish Lakish would agree. Because what happens when I cross over that 50% and I add another percentage? What halacha would kick in? Achrei rabim lahatos. I already have a rov. So maybe a rov shear is considered like a shear. So Rashi says that's wrong. Rashi says there ain't no such shita. It doesn't exist. It's impossible. Chatzi shear means pachos mikashir. So we have to rewrite the Gemara, cross out the word chatzi, and but don't cut it out, because the Ragged Shavu says if you cut it out, then the word on the other side might get cut out. The Ragged Shavu wasn't bothered by that, you know. They say that he once ripped out a Tosus from his Gemara. He says it can't be. So they asked him, but what about the Tosus on the other side of the page? So he said, Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechem. So in any event, but and take out the word Chatzi here, and instead of Chatzi, put the word what?
Pachos
Mikishim. As I state, that's how Rashi says Pachos Mikishim. Now Rabbi Poston is asking another question, okay? Pachos Mikishim means he ate 99% of a kezias. What happens if he ate 1% of a kezias? You know, that Rashi doesn't address. Maybe what Rashi means by Pachos Mikishim is anything less than Pachos Mikishim, up to but not including zero. You know, it's got to be a little bit above zero.
What's considered a shear?
So I don't know. A shear would be in called Tarkul Kezias. Less than a Kezias, I would have said, maybe we should apply the principle of Rov. As long as you're above 50%, Rashi says, no. Once you dip below 100% of a Kezias, you're at 99%, it's already Chatzi Shir. What happens if I go down to 1%? What's that called in the Lashon of Chazal when I go down to 1%? A Mashu. Right, a Mashu. Ooh, Rabbi Akiva says a Mashu, so maybe that's a good proof. I'll leave it to Rabbi Kiva. The Adam, oh yeah, but that's a little different than him. Why? Because why does Rabbi Kiva say Adam Oser Atzas over Mashu? Because that's Lashon B'nei Adam. You know, in Lashon B'nei Adam, if I say I won't eat this kikar, I mean any achila whatsoever, even a Mashu. But what does the Torah recognize? Does the Torah recognize from Chatzi Shir and up, even Pachos Mikashir? And that's considered Issa Torah according to Rabbi Yochanan? According to Reish Lakish, maybe that's an Issur Rabbanah. But what happens if I dip below Chatzi Shir? I get to that meager gray area that's called a Mashu. Maybe that could be. Or should we say that Rashi, when he says Pachos Mikashir, Rashi means anything less than a Shir, even if it dips down to a Mashu? Maybe Kol Chalev. Let's look at the end of the Rashi. Rashi says, L'kame b'shmaitin, we derive it later on in the Sugya, Darishle, this is the drush of Rabbi Yochanan Mikol. Chalev, maybe Kol Chalev means even a Mashu. Okay, fine. Asur mirabbanon. Reish Lakish says the Gemara agrees that Chatzi Shir is Asur mirabbanon. Umas nisen nami mirabbanon. Ka'omar. So the Mishnah is talking about an Iser Dirabbanon. Ihachi. Reish Lakish Asur mia mirabbanon. Is on a chayev alei karban shvu. He should be potter from a karban shvu. In other words, the Gemara maintains that even chatzi shir midrabbanon is also included under what principle? Under what heading? Everybody. Again, in the Gemara, in its attack against Reish Lakish, from the Mishnah of the Chachamim, who say that a person took a shvuah that he won't eat nevela, which according to Reish Lakish means he won't eat a chatzi shir nevela, if he violates that, he brings a carbon shvuah. The Gemara is assuming that an Issur d'Rabbanan like chatzi shir Reish Lakish is included under what principle? Under what heading? Mushba? Mushba v'yomeid? Me'ar Sinai? Wait a second. Mushba v'yomi mar sinai. Hanishba, Rashi says, Shalom yochal chatzi kizayis midover asur v'yochal on a chayv alei karban shvuas bitu da kaimel sech shvuas. Nishba l'kaim is a mitzvah l'kiim potur or nishba l'vatel lo bitel potur. And Reb Shimon potur because you're mushba v'yomi v'yomi nishba l'kaim is a mitzvah. In this case, it's mushba shalom lavar alosas and not to eat a nevela. But what Losa says nevela, if I only eat a chatzi shir, koitre shlok, it's only midrabbana. So if you take a look, let's fast forward for just a moment to Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalid Amin Aleph. Sof, Dibra Maskev, Haliba, Dirab Yochanan. Rashi says, Fare af olav mushpa. Please underline those words. Fare af olav mushpa mishum lav delo sasur.
So why
did
Rashi mention it over here already?
I don't know. Excellent question. Maybe we'll have an answer. Maybe. But in the meantime, you're right, 100%. Rashi waited until later, until the Gemara completes its presentation, and then Rashi says, Mushpa v'yomed mi lav delo sasur. Because after all, Rashi was racking his brains. Where does it say in the Torah? I went through all the lavim in the Torah, 365. I went through all the essays. I didn't find anywhere where the Torah says I can't eat half a kezias. Half a kezias, that's only midrabanan. If it's only midrabanan, how can you say mushpa v'yomid marasita? Where did I take that shvuah nachatzishi? And Rashi is so bothered by this question that he's forced to introduce a lav in the Torah of what? Lo sasur. But both sides, the question I want to ask you is lo sasur enough to upgrade an iser d'rabanan to the level of mushpa v'yomid marasita? Let me ask you a different question, Harvey. You're going to answer this question for me. If I violated Issa Drabban, correct? So have I violated Issa Drabbanan? Yes. Have I violated Issa Doraisa?
Yes.
Well, that's a gigantic machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban goes ballistic, attacking the Rambam. The Rambam says in two places, both in his Shrashim in the Sefer Mitzvahs and in Hilchas Mamrim Perik Alpha Locha Beis, the Rambam insists that any time you violated the Rabbanan, guess what? You violated the Oraisa. Why does the Ramban find that intolerable?
What's the difference between violating the Oraisa?
That's right. Faker, it's even worse than that, the Ramban says, because according to the Rambam, when you violated the Rabbanan, you violate two Isurim Doraisa. One is the Lav of Lo Sasur, and number two, the Mitzvah's essay of Asisa Kechal Sheyerucha. The Gemara says that Safik Rabbanan Lekula, Safik Doraisa, Lechumra. We should be more machmir, or at least equally machmir, in a case of a Safik Derabbanan as we are in a Safik Doraisa. Pilei Ploy. So the Lechem Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim has a long piece in the name of the Kiryas Sefer, and he tries to defend the Rambam. And he says, you know what, when the Rabbanan instituted their Isur, they add all sorts of conditions and provisos. And they say that you only violate our injunction if and when. So, for example, they said that if you're definite about it, then there's an Issur d'Rabbanan. If you're in doubt about it, which is called a Safek, then there's no Issur d'Rabbanan. It's kind of like Heim Amru v'Heim Amru, if you're familiar with that phrase. You know, the Rabbanan are going to inject all sorts of conditions into their Issurim. For example, if somebody is involved in Pinyon Shvuyim, and it came the time to light Ner Chanukah, okay, the truth is that Pinyan Shvuyim would probably knock off even a mitzvah d'oraisa, so this is not really a good case. What would be a good case? Oh, okay. So, for example, you know the famous story about the Chofetz Chaim? He had a guest, and the guest was waiting for him to light Ner Chanukah. You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should light Ner Chanukah as early as you can. In fact, some have a minig, especially here you'll see in Yerushalayim, of lighting Ner Chanukah even before Tzeis HaKochovim. They'll go to Meiriv after they light Ner Chanukah, in that twilight zone between Shkia and Tzeis. So anyway, the Chofetz Chaim was waiting and waiting and waiting. Who was he waiting for? He was waiting for his wife. Why was he waiting for his wife? We should all wait for our wives, right? Because Shalom Bayis is a great mitzvah, and the Chofetz Chaim said that Shalom Bayis is a more important mitzvah than Ner Chanukah. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, you have only one candle, you should use it for Shalom Bayis and not for Ner Chanukah, because Shalom Bayis is greater than the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. So in any event, there are cases in which the Rabbanan said, you know what, for the sake of this or that or the other thing, we'll waive the chiyuv. That's the way the Lechem Mishnah defines or defends the Rambam Shita based on the Gemara. So Rabbi Bosei, let me ask you a question. Is it possible, according to the Rambam, I would never ask this question according to the Ramban, but at least according to the Rambam, that Lo Sasur authorizes the Chachamim to institute all their injunctions? The Rambam has three categories. He's got Gzeros, he's got Siyogim, and he's got Minhagos. And the Rambam says that in all those cases, you come under Lo Sasur. And it's all a Doraisa. So I'm going to ask the following question. According to the Rambam, should we count the Rabbanans in the Taryag because they are also Doraisa? So again, according to the Ramban, there's no question. The Ramban holds that if you violated the Rabbanan, you are completely alleviated of any violation of Lo Sasur. Again, according to the Ramban, you'll have to rack your brain, so why do I have to light Ner Chanuk? Why do I have to read the Megillah on Purim? That's a very profound question, Rav Moshe. Rav Shimon Shkop said a mind-boggling chiddush on this question. He wanted to say that you find all of Ashas Iboy Seima Kra, Iboy Seima Svar. So Rav Shimon wanted to say the reason why I have to listen to the Chachamim, according to the Ramban, when there's no Doraisa, is because Iboy Seima Svar. Again, very profound. It's not for us. In any event, so let's get back to this. But according to the Rambam, she did it every Durabonah comes under what? Lo Sasur. It's not any. Well, the Torah is investing power and authority into the Chachamim to institute all sorts of injunctions and mitzvos and siyagim and minhagos and so forth and so on. Every time I fulfill a mitzvah, like Ner Chanukah, I fulfill a mitzvah of listening to the Chachamim because I have to listen to the Chachamim. The Torah invested authority in the Chachamim. If that be the case, then why don't I add Ner Chanukah to my counting of Tariyah? Maybe I should add Mikra Megillah to my counting of Tariyah.
It's all part of the system.
So first of all, Rav Osai, before we get to your answer, I just want to know one thing. Is the question itself ridiculous?
Yes.
It's not ridiculous. How do I know it's not ridiculous? Because the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who was the first, he was the precursor of the Rambam,
counts
mitzvos derabbanon in Taryak.
Counts the mitzvos or
just
the authority of...
No, the mitzvos. That's what I'm saying. The Rambam is only willing to count the authority. And the Bahag wants to count the mitzvahs. And if you take a look at Yeshit, you know, I underlined it there on the bottom of your page 2, going on to top page 3 for those who received that. I think I ran out of copies. But in any event, you'll get a copy later if you're interested. The Ramban says he doesn't understand, according to the Rambam, why shouldn't we... Oh no, let's go back. The Rambam attacks in Shorish Aleph the Bahag. He pounces upon the Bahag. Bahag, you have no right to count the Rabbanons in the Taryag. And the reason for that is because Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Right? Moshe. In other words, the Taryag, which is at the end of Masechta Makos, that's Moshe. But those Rabbanons that came later on, you know, the Anshei Knesset Agdola, at the time by Shani instituted Chanukah, that doesn't come with the Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. What right do you have to include the Rabbanons in the Torah? That's the Rambam's ballistic approach to the Bahag. And the Ramban says, wait a minute, I don't get it. Why is the Rambam coming so heavy down on the shoulders of the Bahag? The Rambam himself should admit that we have to count the Rabbanons. Because the Rambam insists that every single Rabbanon comes on the Doraisa of Los Sosos. So I'm just pointing out to you, Rabosa, that the question I asked you is not a galechta. You shouldn't throw me out for asking the question. Because the Bahag, who is one of the greatest Rishonim, insists on counting the Rabbanons in Taryah. So it's not the craziest thing in the world. The Rambam on the other end of Neil would say, no, we don't count the Rabbanons in the Torah, in the Taryag. Why not? You said it on Shabbos, that's why I'm... Do you remember what you said at the end of the Shir on Shabbos? Because the Rambam sees that all the Rabbanons are part of what? Of one mitzvah in the Torah. In other words, it's like, right? Remember, like the Toldos, that was the paradigm that we used, right? In other words, there's an Av, and the Av is called Lo Sasur, or Vasisa Kachal Shei Yerucha, the essay side. And underneath the Av, we have many, many Toldos. Hundreds of Toldos. For example, in Shnius La'arayas, the Rambam counts, I think, how many Shnius does he have?
21
Shnius, right? 21 violations of Erva under the Siag of what? Of Shnius La'arayas. Could you imagine adding 21 violations to the counting of the Taryag? Before you know it, it's going to get to be a very large number. It's going to be very scary. It might probably be close to 1,000. I don't know how many.
Yeah, but the fact is that if you count any Durabonans of D'Oraisa, there is, to my knowledge, no Puranas on any Aver of Durabonan that requires a Korban in the base of Migdish. There's a din of Chorus.
Right, but why would that be relevant to Taryag Mitzvahs? In other words, Taryag Mitzvahs includes many different violations that have no relationship to the Beis Hamikdash.
Except Malkus Margus, there's no Malkus, there's no Kiev at all for anybody.
Ah, okay. Now I have to ask you the following question. Why is there no Malkus?
Because Because they're not deraisa, because they're not.
But it doesn't matter. According to the Rambam, they are deraisa. It comes on the whole source.
Deraisa, the source of deraisa is only one thing. You might be over. Well, you can't be over on losos or because.
Why not? I mean, the Rambam says you violate losos. I'll read you the Rambam's language. I mean, he's pretty outspoken.
Yeah, but that's
the Rambam says that every time I violate the Rabbanan, I'm chayav mishum losos.
Yeah, but losos.
The question is why there's no malchus then, according to the Rambam. You want to say that? I mean,
it's not considered
kuvaseh.
That's right.
That's interesting. I don't know. Does everybody buy into that? It's not a kuvaseh.
No, I was just wondering. This Rav Sanya Gaon mentions about the number of letters in the first set of commandments. There's 620. 613 represent each one of the commandments. This is there's seven. Other letters represent something rabbinic. I wonder what he meant.
Yeah, which mitzvahs? He probably we don't have time for that now. But if you add to Mikra Megillah and there Chanukah, the mitzvah of reciting 100 brachos a day, that gives you 3. Add to it the Netilas Yadayim, that gives you 4. Add to it Erevin, that gives you 5. And we'll have to find 2 more. I'm sure there are. Anyway. So again, Rabbosai, according to the Hava Minu, this Gemara, and the Issa Rabbanon says Rashi, because it comes under Lo Sosur, like the Rambam, we can apply the principle of Mushba V'yomim Mar Sinai. So when a person eats half a kezayis of Nevela, he violates Lo Sosur. What does the Shvua add, says the Gemara? And Reish Lakish makes no sense. In Bishlam, if I would hold like the Hava Minu, that Reish Lakish, when he said, B'katzi Shem Mutter Menator, means even Mir Rabbanon it's Mutter, Nicha, he took a Shvua, Shalo Ochal Chatzi Shir, that's a shvua that he's not mushva v'yomim. But once Reish Lakish backtracks and he admits that there's at least al kopanim and isa d'rabbanan in chatzi shir, which Rashi identifies as a violation of lo sasur, then it's mushva v'yomim mi'ar Sinai. I don't know, frankly, how the Ramban is going to interpret this hava min in the Gemara. Why is the Gemara attacking, according to the Ramban, Reish Lakish, since we presume that Reish Lakish admits that there's an isa d'rabbanan in chatzi shir, but according to the Ramban, there is no doraisa for chatzi shir, there's no lo sasur. I don't know what the Gemara means by saying mushva v'yomim. But truth be told, we're not out in the clear here. You know, the Rambam is very good, as Rashi supports the Rambam, so to speak, that there's a violation of Lo Sosur in an Isur Drabbanan like Chatzi Shir L'Reish Lakish. But on the other hand, the Gemara finally rejects that position. Let's read the Gemara. And therefore, we don't know how the Rambam is going to square with the Maskanas HaSugya. Of course, the Gemara answers the following. Says the Gemara, the Chitim, you have it, it's line 2 on page Ayin Dalet. The Chitim, and if you'll say, Kevon de Isle Heter min HaTorah, Kochayil Shkarbon Shvua. Now, wait a second. Isle Heter min HaTorah? Let's take this Gemara literally. What does that mean, Isle Heter min HaTorah? It's Mutter min HaTorah, no? That would support the Ramban. And by the way, this is the Maskanas HaSugya. The Gemara is going to go through a whole Tararam from Karban Eidus, Shuas Eidus. But the Gemara's final Maskana is exactly what we see here in the V'chitema. So I don't know if any of you got a chance to take a look in the Yalkut Biurim. I gave it out to some people, not to others. Okay? But in the Yalkut Biurim, he quotes a sefer called the Megillas Esther. We were talking about Ner Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah. So we'll look at the Megillas Esther. If you have this page, do you see where it says Im Isud Rabbanan Echshav Mushva V'Yomei? Do you have such a paragraph? On the top right, it'll say Sabbath Beis, if you find such a thing. So the second paragraph, Mikan Maksha Rash Beitz. Now, if you don't find it, just listen to the Megillas Esther Bal Peh. It'll be Torah Shabal Peh, even though Megillas Esther is Torah Shabal. He says the following. Tzorich lomer de gamle maskanas asugi, even according to the final conclusion of Gemara, naktinan, we assume the over al drabbanan, he would violate the drabbanan over al osasu. Ella. So what is the Gemara's answer? I mean, there is lo sasur. How can you say Yisrael hetu min haTorah? Kevon da Torah lo asra maisa zebe pratus. Elakak masur hadavar lechachamim lesser lefiat zorech lo nechshav mushba v'yomei me'arsim. The key word is what? Bipratus. That's the key word. Bipratus. According to the Megillus Esther, we identify Mushpa V'Omeid Me'ar Sinai Bipratus. It's got to be Mushpa Bipratus. It can't be a general shvua, undefined, some amorphous whole. It's got to be a specific shvua. Again, keep in mind the Megillus Esther was before Rav Chaim. I'm going to rewrite the Megillus Esther, but it's the same thing, but I just want to use Rav Chaim's terminology. Rav Chaim would say that there's no separate Shem Isra. In order to achieve Mushpa V'Omid Me'ar Sinai, you have to be Mushpa on this Shem Isra. Every Isra Derabbanan, even if it incurs a violation of the Doraisa of Lo Sosra, it's lacking, it's bereft of a Shem Isra B'fnei Atzma. The Shem Isra is an Isra Klali of Lo Sosra, Mitzvah L'Shmoa L'Divrei Chachamim. But there is no Torah recognized Isur to eat Chatzishir. The Torah never formulated an Isur of Chatzishir. Just like the Torah never formulated an Isur of Basar of Bechala or any other Isur Drabon. Those Isurim belong to some sort of amalgam, some sort of amorphous whole, an entity which is made up of a million different parts and subcategories, which is called Los Asur, which is called Mitzvah Shmol Divrei Chachamim. The Chiddush here of the Gemara's Maskana, as opposed to the Havamina, is that Mushpa V'Yomi Mar Sinai requires a specific Shem Isur. The Shvua, if it's taken in a general sense, is that enough to block a Halosh Shvua's Bitu when I take the Shvua? When does the Shvua taken in Har Sinai have the power to block and to remove and undermine the shvua that I take as a shvua bitui that's only if Mushpa Me'ar Sinai bepratus, or as I think Reb Chaim would have said it, with that specific Shem Isur? And I'm thinking out loud that there might be a nafkamina here, based on this maskana of the Gemara, the way the Megillas Esther understands it. There might be the following nafkamina. Maybe, in certain cases, very unique cases, the Rabbanon could create an could generate a shame b'fnei atzma, and it doesn't come under this general rubric of asisa kachal asher yeruchai lo sasur, but it becomes specific. What would be my barometer for determining that the Rabbanon created a shame iser b'fnei atzma or a shame mitzvah b'fnei atzma? A bracha. The Gemara in Yushalmi, which you'll see at the bottom of page 3, records a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. What bracha should we make on a mitzvah derabbanan? We can't say Asher Kidshon mitzvos v'tzivano on mitzvah and name the mitzvah because the Torah didn't command me on that mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, for every mitzvah derabbanan, for example, taking the lulav of Kol Shiva, which is Takonis Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, or reading the Megillah on Leil Purim, or lighting their Chanukah on Chanukah, the bracha is Asher Kidshonu b'mitzvos v'tzivano al mitzvah zekeinu. A general Musach Abdullah comes along, Rabbi Yochanan, and he disagrees. He says, no, I can make a bracha al Mikra Megillah. I can make a bracha al Ha'adlik Ner Chanukah. I can mention the specific name of the mitzvah. And the machlokas here, lechor, is the following. When the Torah invests power and authority in the Chachamim to engender a new mitzvah, what are they doing? Are they creating a new shame mitzvah with its own identity and its own personality? Or no? Every mitzvah derabbanan is part and parcel of this, as I called it before, this amorphous whole of mitzvah l'shvoa b'divrei chachamim of yasisa kechol asher yerucha. It doesn't take on any specific personality. There's no difference between one mitzvah and the other. And the final maskana is that the mitzvah does have a shame unto itself. Haraya, how do I prove it? We don't paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi al mitzvah skenim. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan al hadlokas ner Chanukah al mikra megillah. Is memela rabosai? I understand the Bahag Shita. Why is the Bahag willing to count mitzvahs derabbanan in Taryag? Because every mitzvah derabbanan has its own bracha. Asher kitshonu mitzvos v'tzivano al mitzvahs eruv. Asher kitshonu mitzvos v'tzivano al letilas Yodayim, etc., etc. Since the Rabbanon engender a new status, a new personality with its own shame, I can make a brach on it, says the Bahag, that it should be counted in Tayyat. Because ultimately the Torah itself gave the authority to the Chachamim to create a new mitzvah. And once that new mitzvah is established, it emerges with its own personality, its own shame. So whereas the Megillas Esther assumes that Lamaskonas HaSugya, less Islay Hetem in a Torah, you know what? I'm thinking out loud here. You know, the Megillas Esther is not a contradiction to what we said in the Bahag. The Megillas Esther is talking about Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is an Avera. Chatzi Shir is a Losasa. Chatzi Shir is a Siak or a Gzera. When the Rabbanan institute Gzeros, then even the Bahag would agree, those Gzeros don't have a personality, a shame, Bifnei Atzmo. They belong to this whole, which is called Losasa. But when the Rabbanan create a mitzvah, and then we recite Asher Kidshonim Mitzvot Tzivano Al, and we mention that mitzvah, that's where the Bahag says we have a new category and a new mitzvah. Is Memela, in the case of Chatzi Shir, the Gemara is saying there is no Mushba V'yomi Mar Sinai. Ah, you violate Los Sosser? The answer is it doesn't have a shame Prati. It doesn't have a shame Mesuyam Bifnei Atzmo, and therefore it's not Mushba V'yomi. We never took a Shvua on Chatzi Shir. We never took a Shvua on Shnios Larayos. We never took a shvuah on the Isra Achilas Basar Of Becholov. Why? Because the shvuah was on Lo Sasur. The shvuah was on respecting the authority of the Chachamim. It wasn't on these specific Isurim. Where is the Bahag willing to expand the counting of Taryag and include and invite even Mitzvahs to Rabbanan into that group? That's only with regard to essays when the Rabbanan institute a brand new mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. And I'll thank everyone for joining me. The next shiur will be on Wednesday. If there's anyone interested tomorrow in, you know, fast speed reading of what I call a tight shiur in Masechta, in the 8th Perek of Yuma, please let me know. At regular time, I would do it probably at 11:45 or 12. So we have one person? Okay. Do we have more than one person? Two people? Three people? Okay. So that's, you know, because I would like to finish the 8th Perek over the course of the next 5 weeks. And the only way we can do that is if we do speed reading. So that'll force me to do something. It's all for me. It's not for you. I'm very selfish. I don't know. What's a shirk? So the Rabban would have to say that once you have a svara, again I'm using Rav Shimon Shkop to listen to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon Shkop, he asks if I see him. What's his son's name? The one who's not bar mitzvah. The young Michal. So how old is he? He's 10. Very cute kid. So Michal is kind of in synthesis. Mitzad one, Chin. Chinuch is only to Rabbanah. We as Gedolim have to listen to the Chachon. But Michael is a cut. Why does he have to listen to the Chachon? See, he comes up with this fantastic Svara. He says that if I say what Kari thought, Svara means that some things you have to do because they make sense. You know, it's like there are bad sheep about mitzvah sins. You know, there's such a thing called the mitzvah sins. Which even if the Torah wouldn't have commanded us, we'd still be morally compelled to follow that because it's logical. Anyway, it's absurd. He gets into Shari Yosha. I'm not sure. I may have heard it also from Rabbi Silver. He's not alive anymore. He's the Rabbi of Paris. You know, I don't know if you know, Rabbi Shimshon was in YU for about 8 months.
I remember he had to put down.
Yeah, and then they forced him to leave because they
were not the thing.
Yeah, they didn't
appreciate it. Was job.
He had seven, almost 7 pounds according to that approach.
Deliver me the
product. So, my silver, who was the Robin Harrisburg, he was 1 year before my father. He was 1 year older than my father.
I don't know.
So, my father was Rav Shimon. And my father got to learn Moshe Soloveitchik had already replaced Rav Shimon. But Rabbi Silva was there in Rav Shimon's
time.
So, Rav Shimon was a very profound thinker. He was really a deep philosopher. So was Rav. Rav Shimon said certain things that you'd have to really study them very for a long time. long time to come up with something.
Okay. Very interesting. The last thing you were saying here. I'm lucky that I was talking over with somebody just the other day. Isha Iveris. Does she light candles on Leil Shabbos?
Right. I think the answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Okay. So I don't have a problem with that.
No.
I do have a problem with the fact that you say she makes a bracha.
Because maybe she's not really fulfilling the full-fledged mitzvah. Is that what you mean? She's only facilitating
others. No, not because.
Others.
See, they're concerned about the fact that she's in verse, she can't see it, so therefore, where's the hana? So they come up with the same Dr. Gemara talks about, no, that somebody can see her. That's
her.
Not my problem. My problem is she's in verse and she's peturim, kol mitzvahs, midiraisa, and all the essence. So she's poor peturim. I, the rabbanim, they say they make them do it because otherwise it'd be a shaygetz. Right? So, but that's fine. But where do you make the bracha from? You should be without a bracha because lighting the candle.
So that's the whole shiur of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. You know, it's the Rambam holds that if you don't have the mitzvah, like a woman doesn't have
right.
mitzvah, she can't make a bracha.
Right.
So a Sephardic woman would probably not,
the Sephardi was talking it over with, and they passed, and you do make a bracha.
So that, yeah, show them the Rambam. The Rambam is an ill consensus.
I know. I found the whole thing. I said, it doesn't make sense to me because lighting a candle is a kiyum and onik Shabbos. There is no mitzvah d'oraisa to light candles. So it's a kiyum. Arnik Shabbos is a chiyuv, but it's not a chiyuv to somebody's part of the mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, it's only derabbanan, and what's more, the husband is also chayiv in this, and he's chayiv d'oraisa. So why should she make the bracha?
I think we're going to have to say, Alan, the conclusion is that if a suma makes a bracha, it means that. Because of that svara, they shouldn't be like a sheik. It's like you say, they obligate the suma. They obligate the suma.
But why her? The husband should make the bracha. Because he's blibes still with the chiyav. He blibes with the chiyav
right.
for the...
But she's also chayavis, the Torah's...
She's only chayavis, and that she shouldn't be like a sheik.
No, I'm saying, we have to go one step further, that because she shouldn't be, you know, mufka for mitzvahs, therefore they obligated her.
But the
Rambam, otherwise how can you just
but sir, that's why she should light. Why doesn't she light and he make the bracha?
Again, because once we come to the conclusion that she's obligated, then she has to make it.
But I mean, for example,
a suma does any mitzvah, he makes a bracha on it. Why does he make a bracha on it? Especially according to Rabbeinu Tam, when you volunteer for a mitzvah, you make a bracha. But according to the Rambam sheet, the Rambam is in the tzitzis. The Rambam says if a woman wants to put on tzitzis, ain mochin biyada. But she can't make a bracha, says the Rambam.
Yeah.
And all the commentaries on the Rambam say, why did the Rambam have to say ain mochin biyada? What was the hamamim that we should make a macha? And they all answer because
all the other mitzvahs she can.
Make a bracha, and that would be a bracha of atol. So the Rambam's chiddush is that we're not afraid that she'll go ahead and make the bracha, but she's not allowed to make the bracha.
But why is she not allowed to make the bracha if she can make the same bracha on Lulu?
She can't. According to the Rambam, she can't make a bracha on a sukkah. Rabbi Tam disagrees with the Rambam. Our minhag as Ashkenazim is based on Rabbi Tam, but the Rambam would not allow us.
But would Rabbi Tam also she make a bracha on sitzes?
Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
L'chora Pashtus, yes. Why not?
I don't know. I thought he barely did not say.
So that's the famous Rabbi Chanan. I think Rabbi Chanan says that for a woman to put on sitzes, no, maybe he says it by tefillin.
So you talk about what did the Mishnah Berurah bring then?
No, I think there's a famous Kiddush of Rabbi Chanan that if a woman puts on tefillin, it's like if you put on tefillin on your foot. So he has a very strange expression. Anyway, but getting back to this, so again, a suma will make a bracha on a mitzvah even though he's potur because the Rabbanan were mechayev, and once the Rabbanan were mechayev and he can make a bracha even according to the Rambam. The Rambam is talking about a case where the Rabbanan were not mechayev, like for example a woman vis-a-vis tzitzis, and therefore she can't make the bracha. So the fact that a suma can make the bracha according to the Rambam is because a suma, they were so afraid of a suma, you know, being mufka for mitzvahs, that they obligated the suma, and therefore he can make the bracha.
It's a very interesting Minchas Asher, which says a suma is pater for mitzvahs to Yeraisa, and the power of the Rabbanan derives from a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Right. So that's this Reb Shimon that I was telling you.
Right.
Like Reb Shimon was wondering, let's say in the case of a cotton, he's chayav and chinuch. So many Rishonim hold, and in the Rambam it depends on the mitzvah, there's very 15 different Rambams you have to see, that the child himself is chayav. It's not just the chayav on the father, right, but he himself is chayav.
Right.
So midin chinuch. So chinuch is only the Rabbanim. So that's what Reb Shimon asked. But so what's machay of him? We have a chiv to listen to the Rabbanim, but he's not chayv in any mitzvah. So why does he have to?
Yes, that's the same minyan. So that's
where Reb Shimon comes up with this. Ebay say mekroy, Ebay say.
I don't know. I can't even remember
that
the answer.
I heard from Aaron's father. You know, Aaron's father learned by Reb Shimon. Aaron Silver.
Yeah. I don't remember the answer that the Minchas Osher gave, but anyway.
Gentlemen, did you get to the Rashba in
Shmuz? Yes, we did.
Okay, I couldn't fit that in for today.
That's very nice.
But there's a lot to talk about in that. It's a beautiful Rashba, and that B'li Neder will be the main topic.
But the thing is, the Rashba himself doesn't really like the answer.
Right. Well, he gives two answers. So we'll see which of the two answers he likes and which he doesn't. But just one second, was there anything else on the agenda for today? I think we covered it all.
And what are you going to do this next year?
The next year we'll start with this Rashba.
Yeah, but when?
Oh, that's on Wednesday. Tomorrow.
Wednesday, okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to give a little bikiyas, not of this sugya, but on the sugya that we're going to skip, which is how do we know the inuyim, and then the zagadit. Of course, I just have this goal to try to finish the eighth parak before Yom Kippur. I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's a pretty big goal. Okay.
Well, we'll speed read, as I call it.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of the handout from last time that I can make a copy of?
The one that
you referred
to. Oh.
Which one?
You mean the one about Los Hossur?
The one that you're referring to today, you were saying on the bottom of
the Urine?
Yeah, that was Los Hossur. Okay, so I don't have any copies.
You're in a half.